Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. The message tonight is a very, very simple message. It's called the preaching of the cross. Paul called his message the preaching of the cross in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And I think about that and I say, the preaching of the cross, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now I want to come back to that at the end, but I want to cover some things that Paul covered about the cross. Because, you know, these things weren't made known in Matthew, Luke, and John. We don't learn a lot about the cross. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we don't learn a lot about what happened, what was accomplished by the cross. But Paul says that the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but what is it to us which are saved? But the power of God. Anytime I talk to a young preacher boy, and he wants to start a ministry, I always remind him of one thing, that you're not preaching through your own power. You may be real good at preaching, you may be terrible at preaching, you may be real talented at getting the audience emotionally involved. And I said, but you know what? None of that matters, especially to God. The power of God is the preaching of the cross. And there's no more powerful message than the preaching of the cross. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to just talk about a few of the things, just a few of the things that were accomplished at the cross that we learn in Paul's epistles. In Ephesians 1, look at verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Do you realize because of the cross, we have not only redemption through His blood, but we have forgiveness of sins through His blood. All because of the cross. Without, I looked up the word redemption, and it was funny because in the dictionary it talks about, you know, because obviously you could redeem something, like redeem a gift or a gift card or a gift certificate. But then on the second one down, it said in theology, okay, and it talked about getting yourself in a position of rightness, okay. Well, we can't do that on our own. Because all of our works are filthy rags, right? It took the work of the cross. It took the, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. It was all because of the cross, the work that Jesus Christ did, and the work that Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross gave us redemption, made us able to go into the presence of God, and gave us forgiveness of sins. I remember when I was a little boy, although I was taught the salvation message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for my sins and for my justification, I was not taught that once you're saved, you're always saved. So I didn't know that until I was an adult in the Air Force. So I was always afraid that if I died, quote unquote, in my sins, then I wouldn't go to heaven. What I mean by that is, that I was afraid that, I thought about it logically, I said, can sin enter the kingdom of God? Well, no. So I thought, well, if I have sinned that I haven't asked for forgiveness for, then somehow I could go to hell, even though I was saved as a boy. And so when I would go to sleep, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, okay? And I would say, the different sins that I had done that day. And then, I don't know, I mean, am I the only one, or did you guys do the same thing? Have that blank prayer at the end? Lord, I know I did this today wrong, and I did that today wrong, and I thought of this, and I did that, and I shouldn't have read that, and I shouldn't have looked at that, and forgive me for all those things. I was mean to my sister, or I kicked the dog when I walked by, something. But Lord, will you do me a favor? And anything that I forgot to mention, would you go ahead and forgive me for that? Okay? I felt like at that point, then my blanket prayer cleansed me of that sin, and then tomorrow I could wake up and go on to the next sins. Well, I remember this one day, I was in eighth grade, in seventh or eighth grade, it was one of the two, but I remember we were living in Oregon for a short time during seventh and eighth grade, and just for some reason, I don't know why, but I just had this weird feeling that I was going to die that night. I mean, it was, just weird. I just knew for sure that I was not going to wake up, or I'd wake up in the presence of God. And so guess what I did? I got right with God. I made sure I mentioned every sin I could come up with that I had been doing. I guess it was, the Lord's way of trying a knot in my tail, because he kind of got me on focus for a little while there. But as I was praying, asking for forgiveness for all these different things that I had done and was doing, then I said, and Lord, if I forgot anything, would you please forgive me? And I'll tell you what, my biggest fear as a child, the biggest fear was that I would either get, in a plane crash or in a car crash and die. And that somehow, as the plane was going down, I hadn't asked that blanket prayer to forgive me of a sin, and I would crash and have that one sin on me, and that one sin couldn't enter into the kingdom of God, and therefore I would go to hell. Now that's a terrible existence to live, isn't it? If someone had just shown me this verse and made it clear that in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Folks, every single sin that you ever are going to commit has already been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. We don't have to worry about our sins because they're all forgiven. He says, redemption and forgiveness through his blood. Thank God for that. Thank God that I don't have to worry about each individual sin and asking for forgiveness. And if I don't forgive, I saw on Fox News one morning this past week, they had, I don't remember what the guy was for, but he was some famous TV, a singer, country singer. It might have been Merle Haggard. I'm not 100% sure. But it was some country singer that I'd never listened to before. And he was on Fox News, and he was talking about how a number of years back, he had given his life over to the Lord. And he was very, very much active about preaching the gospel and talking about, he mentioned Jesus Christ. He mentioned how he died for our sins on the TV. Short little interview, too. And he mentioned he had wrote a book, like a memoirs of his life. And so he was talking about how the Lord had totally turned everything around. And then the guy asking the questions, doing the interview, had asked him something about forgiveness. He said, now, didn't your son teach you something about forgiveness? And he said, boy, did he. He said, his son, apparently, a teenager at that time, or maybe early 20s, had been shot in the face by someone with road rage, okay, someone just out of the blue, mad at how he drove or cut him off or something like that, and shot him in the face, and he was almost dead, but he survived. And when he said, when I walked into that hospital room to see my son and, make sure, see him physically myself, that he was alive, he said, I had so much rage inside of me. And the first thing my son said to me is, Dad, we need to forgive that man. He doesn't have Jesus. And then this
singer, I think Merle Haggard. I'm probably totally wrong on that. But then he said, and you know what? Without forgiving our brother, we won't have forgiveness. And I thought, oh, he was doing so good.
We don't have to worry about having forgiving our brother in order to have forgiveness, do we? In the age of grace, we have forgiveness at the cross. Look at Romans chapter 5. Now, some people, it's funny, some people will tell you, well, if you say you're once saved, always saved, and you say that all your, if you tell people that all their sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, that's just going to be a license for them to sin. Brother, we know that all your sins are forgiven at the cross, but don't be telling people that. I've heard people say that. Don't be telling people every sin they're ever going to commit in their life is already forgiven, because then they won't keep coming to church, or they won't keep giving to the church, or they'll start living wild. Well, guess what? They already were living wild. What's the difference? They got saved. All their sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You know what happened to me? From a child at 9 or 10 when I got saved until I was about, let's see, in the Air Force for almost 3. So I was 20, either 20 or 21, because I got out of the Air Force when I was 21. And I remember that whole time from childhood until 21 thinking that if I had a sin left on me, then I would go to hell when I died. At 21, this man explained to me that once you're saved, you can't lose it. You're always saved because you have eternal security. And when he explained to me the doctrine of eternal security, that I cannot lose it no matter what I do, it didn't make me get a license to sin. I'll tell you what it did. It convicted my heart. Because I thought about the blood that was spilled on the cross for my sake. And I felt guilty. Well, how can I do this? Or how can I do that? Or how can I think this? Or how can I think that? When Jesus Christ died for me, He paid for me. Look at Romans 5, verse 9. It says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You know, that verse has two different things in there that we get, just like the last one. We get, because of the blood of the cross, we get forgiveness of sins and redemption. And here, because of the blood of the cross, we get justification. We're justified by His blood, and we're saved from wrath through Him. That means that we're saved from wrath. We're not going to go into the tribulation period because of Jesus Christ. And we're justified by His blood. Justified, of course, like I said this morning, was justified, never sinned. All because of the cross. Look at the next verse. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It says we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So there you go. And again, there's a third thing. In that two verses, there's three things that we received that we didn't deserve, but we received because of the death of Jesus Christ. We received reconciliation. Reconciled. I think about if you have a brother or a sister or a best friend or a co-worker, and you've gotten into just everything explodes and all the emotions come out. Well, at some point, you want to be reconciled, right? You want to come back together and be best friends, be brother and sister again. Well, that reconciliation, we were enemies to God. We were refuse as far as our righteousness, and God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, reconciled us by the death of His Son. So we are reconciled to God.
It's the only way you can get there. When I draw that little chart where I have a line and I put the cross on there, and I always explain to people, the only way to get to God is through the cross. That's the only way to get there. Paul found that out, didn't he? Like we were reading this morning, you know, is that you, Lord? And he goes, it's Jesus whom thou persecutest. And immediately he says, you know, what would you have me to do? That reconciled. Look at Ephesians 2. We were made nigh or near. We were made nigh by the blood of the cross. See, and you know what? We find all this stuff out in Paul's epistles. We find out what was accomplished at the cross and by the cross. We find it through the epistles of Paul. Now, I can't be in Ephesians 2 and not read at least verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So it's not your faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So by the faith of Jesus Christ ye are saved. For by grace ye are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now the verse that I wanted to get to was verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, when you were unsaved, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I guess the biggest reality for a person to understand, you know, and you guys all have your own testimony of salvation, but the biggest reality to me when I was a little boy was realizing that there was no way that I could be good enough, even though I was a young child, there was no way I could be good enough for the whole rest of my life in order to earn my way to heaven. But the only way that I could go to heaven is by the finished work of Jesus Christ. What he did 2,000 years ago, that paid my price. And, you know, this verse says it perfectly in verse 13. We are enemies, but we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. If you think about going, can you imagine going up to heaven and standing at the pearly gates and looking in, but you can't go in? I mean, I can't even fathom what that would be like to see, to be able to, you know, it's like when you, those fences, I think about fences around a school where you look in and you see all the kids playing and having fun and you're like, oh, I wish I could play and have fun and play basketball and dodgeball and tetherball and all the screaming and laughing and jump roping, and you just have to be the kid sitting outside going, I can't go in. Can you imagine looking into heaven through the pearly gates and be able to see what was going on but not be able to go in because you didn't get saved, because you couldn't get nigh or near to God because you didn't go through the cross? Of course, that'll never happen. You won't be able to get to the pearly gates if you're not saved, but that would just be devastating. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now this verse right here is a powerful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A.C. Moore used to say that he said that he wasn't worth the gunpowder that it would take to blow him into hell. Now, he wasn't worth that. And I thought that was such a strange thing when I first heard him say that. I thought, well, what a strange thing to say. That guy must have low self-esteem. What do you mean you're not, your whole life is not worth the cost of the gunpowder to blow you into hell? But you know, really, it's the truth, isn't it? You know, we're not worth all that trouble. There's millions and millions and billions of people. We're not worth that. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we were made not the righteousness of Gilbert Shelham, but the righteousness of God. I was made. Look at chapter 5 and look at verse 21. For he hath made him, so God hath made Jesus, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. I mean, think about that. We were made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Why? Because God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Talk about the just for the unjust. We're the unjust, and the only righteous God, the only true God, the Bible says the only wise God, died on the cross for our sins so that we could be made the righteousness of God. That's why I can't go to hell. It's not because I'm such a good person. It's because there's no way for me to go to hell because I was made the righteousness of God by God through Jesus Christ. And all that's accomplished at the cross. Look at Colossians chapter 2. When I was getting this message ready, I was thinking, this message here, I need to teach at the boys' home. You know, they need to hear everything that was accomplished at the cross for them. I mean, they're incarcerated. I always tell them, because they have to wear yellow shirts when they first get there for a week, and then orange shirts, that's level 2, and then blue shirts is level 3, and then there's a level 4 like 2 days before they go out. They have to wear these yellow shirts when they start off. But it doesn't matter what level they're at, they're still wearing a shirt that stands for I'm incarcerated, right? And I'll ask them, I said, now I want you to ask yourself this, am I a sinner? And I said, now before you answer the question, am I a sinner, before an almighty and righteous God, am I a sinner? Before you answer that, I said, look down at your chest. And they all look down to see what am I talking about. Some pull their shirt out to look at their chest. And I'll say, no, not at your chest. Look down at your chest. And they look down. And I go, if you're wearing a pretty bright color shirt like that, there's a chance that you're a sinner. Because you didn't get in here on accident. And they all get like that grin. Yep. You don't have to try and convince those boys that they're sinners. They know they're sinners. In Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, and that's the law, those handwriting of ordinances that was against us, was the law. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, that's another thing that was accomplished at the cross, was the law was done away with. Well, if the law was done away with, that's why you have either grace or law. You can't mix them up. You can't have mostly grace and a little bit of law. It's not going to work. Look at Galatians 3. Here's another place on the same subject. Galatians 3. In Galatians 3, if you look at verse 13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. See, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So what's another thing that was accomplished at the cross?
it was accomplished that the law, the covenant of the law, the ordinances of the law that were handwritten, that were against us, were done away with at the cross. Now it's purely by grace. If someone wants to get saved, they have to get saved by grace through faith. Look at Ephesians, back to Ephesians. We read verses chapter 2, verse 13. I want to look at chapter 2, verse 14. I could have done it back when we were over there, but it didn't fit as good. Now, the curse of the law is done away with at the cross. The other thing that was done away with is the middle wall of partition that was between us and the house of Israel. Verse 14 and 15, it says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances," we just read that in Colossians, "for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Now, how was that accomplished? At the cross. He abolished the enmity at the cross. He's our peace. And it all happened because Jesus Christ was faithful to go and shed his precious blood. Look at verse 16. "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." And that he might reconcile both of God. And so we have the body of Christ, okay, the church, by the cross. That's another thing that was accomplished at the cross. The body of Christ, that middle wall is broken down, and the body of Christ is formed by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. See, no wonder Paul calls his ministry the preaching of the cross. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1. And look back at verse 18 again. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, it's only the power of God to save people. If you're not saved, get saved. Trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day for your justification. Trust that what he did, according to all these verses we just read, the preaching of the cross, that all those things was accomplished. He was our redemption through his blood at the cross. We have forgiveness of sins by the cross. We're justified by the blood of the cross. We're reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made the righteousness of God in him because God made him to be sin for us at the cross. The covenant of the law, so the law and ordinances done away with at the cross. The middle wall broken down at the cross. We're reconciled to God in one body at the cross because by the body of Christ, or in the body, into the body of Christ. No wonder Paul calls his message the preaching of the cross, because that's the power of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.